Cineola.
I'm Matt Johnson, and this is a special edition devoted entirely to the history of the late, great Garden Studios. My personal relationship with this studio began back in 1982 when, as a 21-year-old lad, I was working on Soul Mining with my co-producer, Paul Hardiman. I fell in love with it the moment I walked through the door, and within a decade, I was lucky enough to buy it. I decided to set up a battery-operated record player in the corner, place some candles in the various rooms, and pass around a couple of handheld tape recorders for the assembled ghosts to record their memories into. Over there, in the candle shadows, I see the distinctive silhouette of the man who built the Garden Studios, John Fox. Let's hear what he has to say.
I want to ask you first, John, is what made you choose this particular building for the Garden Studio? And did you know this part of East London very well already?
I knew it a bit, yeah, because I'd been to Brick Lane. That's as much as I really knew. I've been also to Trevor Horn's studio a couple of times, which is not too far away, Sami's, and used that. I just liked it around here. Dennis was the one who was the instigator, Dennis Marzi, because he was interesting because he's an American and he'd lived in New York. So he was quite used to the idea of lofts and using buildings that are very much like this in New York as artists' territories, which was what was happening in the 70s. Then, I remember, you could have mown some of the streets over towards Hoxton. There were literally streets full of weeds that were unused completely. It was like a deserted city.
Test it. All right. Right, Matt Johnson's got me up here on a false premise, the promise of a free, limited edition album. Bearing in mind, A, I know it because I recorded it. B, I'm deaf because he recorded such massive volume. C, I haven't got a record player. And all he wants is an interview.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That C bit, that's bad.
My dear friend Matthew invited me to share some reminiscences about the recording of Soul Mining, specifically Giant, the track that I played on all those years ago, back in 82, 83, something like that. Matt and I had met at a Cherry Red Christmas party, the company that published both of our songs, and became quite fast friends after that.
Soul Mining, first trying to get into the studio. I mean, you showed up because Hardiman hadn't met you at the time.
Oh, that's right.
My mate, too.
Yeah.
We've got to get him involved to play on drums. And you turned up to the first session like 3 days
later. African time.
And he was, after the first day, well, where the hell is this? He'll be here soon.
I mean,
and these were the days before emails
text and
text. Mobile phones.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it?
No, it's like seeing almost the like a skeleton or a corpse, you know, of memories and stuff. It is incredible, but the smell is the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's the the damp of being like underground, yeah. But the vibe was so great.
I can still smell the incense, see the lava lamps swirl on the ceiling, taste the smoked salmon and cream cheese bagels brought in from Brick Lane. My hands leave the warm wood paneling of the Hammond for the grand piano. Long live the war room, if only in our memories.
I have some great memories of the Garden, particularly recording Dusk, and especially making the video for Dogs of Lust, where Matt and Tim wanted us to look blisteringly hot. So they hired in these two huge industrial warehouse heaters and put them into, well, the pretty compact live room there and shut the door on us. Now, I've lived in some hot places and even been in Death Valley without AC, but I've never felt anything like that.
It's really nostalgic for me going back into the studio, which is in the process of being closed down, and seeing the whole place with the floors pulled up, and just, you know, the whole, just the sense of history of the albums and amazing things and sounds, and from Matt's history and from all sorts of amazing bands have recorded in there, just that sense of history. So, you know, everything's just ripped out at the moment.
My name's Nick from Moloco Studios. I look after the Moloco group. We've been partnered up with Matt at the Garden Studios for about 20 years, I think. It's been a great, great relationship. Fantastic studio. It was the first studio we got involved in outside our main studio, as and, you know, the start of us expanding as a group, and this is where we tested all our systems out, whether we could do it, and it's been a great, great success.
My name's Craig Sylvie, and I've been lucky enough to have been a partner in the operation of the studio for the last 3 years, and it's been an excellent 3 years. It's done me very well. It's a very positive studio that has very good vibes, and has been probably the best years of my working life have been here, I would have to say. I'm really sad to go, really. I mean,
But it's good to go out on a high.
Yeah, it's been, yeah, I think we're definitely going to go out on a high, and it'll definitely be remembered for quite a few records. Yeah.
And so, The Garden joined many other great studios in becoming nothing more than a distant memory. But I hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed hearing from some of the ghosts of Garden's past, and that it may have brought you a little closer to what it really feels like to work inside a legendary recording studio. And you have to remember that to us musicians, engineers, and producers, a studio is the closest thing we have to a church. Amen.
Yeah, all right, Matthew. I better go, my friend. Oh, I'm a bit late. Oh, yeah. <That's right. laughs> I'd love to stay. I could stay all night, but...
Well, if the fire was coming, I'd get a little crumpets.
This is how someone just gave me these books to read, but...
If you text them, it said Indian dentist.
Indian dentist.
Chinese dentist. Chinese.
You have been listening to Radio Cineola. For more information on the and Radio Cineola, please visit www.thethe.com.